One of the things that I have learned after 39 years of being a priest is that even though I am by nature an extreme introvert, even though people don't believe that, I am. I am an extreme introvert. When people experience me as pastor many times or a priest, they will experience me as very outgoing, but I'm really not. I've learned how to do that because I've learned that most people are just a little bit awkward in front of priests. And so you have to break the ice in order for them to, you know, relate to you. But given any choice, I would rather just be alone in my own cave. As a matter of fact, in my office, it's funny because my office is the tiniest office in the entire office complex, and it has no windows, and I chose it. But I say that because in the priesthood, I have become quite forward, and I've just learned that I have to do that. The other day, I finished Mass, and as I was walking out, I noticed a person that was unusual in the church. And I noticed there's all kinds of new people all the time. And most of you I know by face, at least I know, I've seen you before. But this person, it was a young adult, young lady. And she was just standing there in the back of church. And I went right up to her and I said, "Who are you?" Now, she was quite shocked. But I said, "Who are you?" And she began to kind of fumble and use different things to describe. First, she gave me her name, but then she did something really interesting. She said, "Who are you?" And I said, "Touché. Touché, I like that. Who are you?" Anyway, how the conversation ended up is not that important. But here's the crux of it. In the midst of that interchange of "Who are you?" and when she said to me, "Who are you?" think about how you would answer that question. If some priest or somebody came up to you, like in a church, not in a, like you were in a mall or something like that, but in a place that you felt, at least some connection. And they came up to you and you didn't know them very well. And they just said, "Who are you?" How would you answer? How do you answer that question? Who are you? And it's interesting because when I was looking at how she answered and how I was answering, the immediate thing of how you respond to that question is to describe relationships that you have, whether they are conscious or, they're conscious relationships, but whether you're conscious of them or not. You begin by stating, of course, you may begin by stating your name. Now, your name, it's nice, but it doesn't tell you who you are. It just, that's a label that we were given to each other. But if you think about your last name, it really is all about who you are related to. So you got a first name. Like, I'll use my name. My name is Mario. In Spanish, if you can say Mario, and my last name is in Spanish. I have to tell you this. My name is Mario Jose Arroyo. Okay? That I'm originally from Cuba, so my name is Spanish. And when I was in high school, I had this nun who could not. You know, in if you can't say Mario Jose Arroyo, you say in English Mario Jose Arroyo. Okay, that's kind of the English version of it. I had this nun who could not do either of them. And there I was in a co-ed school trying to be cool. I had hair, you know, in those days. I wasn't in the seminary. I was trying to be, you know, cool. And when the nun would call out, she would call out, Mario Josie Rerario. Now you try to be cool, and some nun is calling you Mario Josie. But anyway, my last name, Arroyo, tells you that I'm related to some other people called Arroyo. So immediately, if you answer the question, who are you? You begin to talk about your relationships. You give your label, your first name, and then which kind of clan you belong to. But then how do you go on? How do you go on? Some people say, well, this is what I do. I am a teacher. I am, you know, a lawyer. I'm a doctor. I'm a nurse. I work in the construction. But notice how all of a sudden you're still, it's still not answering, who are you? That tells me, again, what you do for a living. Who are you? And once people begin to really kind of dig into who are you, it becomes very uncomfortable. Because answering that question begins to expose there's a title of a movie that it's coming to my mind, and the title of the movie was The Unbearable Lightness of Being, meaning how we have a sense of identity, but how when you try to grasp it, it sort of goes away. Who are you? Well, I guess I could tell you I'm Cuban. That tells you some more relationships. I could tell you that I'm a naturalized American citizen. I could tell you some more of my relationships. I could tell you that I am a Catholic priest. It tells you some more of my relationships. But notice, everything that I'm saying is about me in relationship with other people. It's like you can't come up with who are you outside of your relatedness to other people. That's who you are. You are in common union with another. Now, listen very carefully. You are, you exist in common union with another or with others. The word could also be communion with others. Outside of your common union with others, it's pretty hard to tell me who you are, because that is who you are. Now, why am I talking like this? Because today, six young people are here. And you're going to receive baptism, confirmation, and common union. Now, if you find it strange that I'm using those words, especially instead of First Communion, it's a little too superficial for my taste. It's the first time you are going to be in common union. Now, Why is that important? Because you see, when it really comes down to it, who you are is ultimately at the center. Once you get through, I'm Cuban, not that you're Cuban, but once you get through, I'm an American, I am a Texan, I'm a teacher, and you go through all of these things, and you reach the center of you that's sort of empty, and you start freaking out because you can't say who you are. That empty space at the center of you is where God is. And that empty space at the center of you is where God will call you by your deepest name. You see, today you're going to be baptized. Now, please understand, you're not going to feel anything, okay? You're not going to feel like, you know, God is coming on you and, you know, and stuff like that. It's not going to happen. And then I'm going to confirm you. Okay? You're not going to feel anything. I'm going to put my hands on you and I'm going to smear oil all over your head. And then I'm going to give you communion. Now, through all of that, you're going to experience it and you're going to remember it because you're old enough to remember it. But one of the things that you're going to find out as you grow up is that at that moment, God was speaking to you. And it's hard to hear it at that moment, but at that moment, God was speaking to you and saying, at the heart of who you are, Victor, you're my son. And once you get beyond all the things that you can say that you are, you're my daughter, Samantha. And that's what God will be saying to you. Now today you're too freaked out, standing, you know, a priest is standing in front of you, in front of several hundred people, and he's talking to you. And so he's, all you're thinking is, move on, Father. Right? That's all you're thinking. Okay? If I were in your place, sweetie, I'd be going, oh, please, Father, move on to the next dude. Okay? But once you are able to back off, you will hear and you will remember that today was a day in which God showed you the deepest you. And you'll be able to see it, Diego. You'll be able to see it in a way that you've never seen it before. It's a very interesting because, see, when it came down to it, when I was trying to answer that question, who am I? And I could tell you, you know, I'm a Cuban, I'm a priest, I'm a I'm all these things. When I got to the center of me, there is no me without him. There's no me. I mean, all the other me's, the teacher me, the Cuban me, the American me, the father me, the all kinds of the different kinds of me's that there are, they all kind of flutter around the center. But when it comes down to the center, who am I? I find that I have no being, no self, unless I am addressed by him. Unless he calls me Mario. Now he uses that term. Until he calls me, I think this is true. I am a living echo of his word calling me into existence. I'm a living echo. And that's what you discover later. And I think back. I don't remember my baptism. I was a little boy. Tiny little kid. I was cute. My mom thought I was the prettiest baby in the world. I had hair. Right? And I remember seeing pictures of it. And for a long time, I grew up, and it didn't make any sense to me. Yeah, that's my baptism. But the older you get, and the more life questions you, who are you? Who are you? The more you begin to discover that that moment back there when you got all dressed up and you were freaking out because the priest was hanging around too much and, you know, and stuff like that, that was actually the moment that you remember when God said, Ariana, you're my daughter. And that's exactly what you're going to remember. Not today, but when you're 60 or 70 or even 30 maybe. Okay? And certainly the day that you die, that's the only thing that's left. Is God having called you and saying, you are Edric. And the only thing that will exist about you is God calling you, you. Now I know I'm sitting here going, Mario, why are you talking all this deep stuff to all these kids? I don't know. Just feels right. And I know you don't understand it. As a matter of fact, probably most people don't understand it. But life is tough. Okay? And so try to remember someday what's going on here today. Because what's going on here today is that God, when you come up here, God is speaking to you. And he is saying, you are my daughter. Samantha, you are my daughter. That's what happens. You know, in the church, that font is called the womb of the church. And the day you were born is the day that God said, you.